Chicago. This is your new morning routine. Cap and J-Hood. Follow Cap J-Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app on ESPN 1000. And now on FM at 100.3 HD2. Now, on Chicago's home for sports. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Woo! Bring 'em out, bring 'em out, bring 'em out, bring 'em out. Woo! Bring 'em out, bring 'em out. Bring 'em out, bring 'em out. Bring 'em out, bring 'em out. Bring 'em out, bring 'em out.
I was born in this town. Good Lord willing, many, many years from now, I'll die in this town. I grew up a Cubs fan. That's my number one team. The Bears are right there at number two. But I root for every team that says Chicago on it. White Sox, if you're playing my Cubs, I hope you lose by 200. But other than that, I'll root for you. But I love the Bears because, like, there's 162 baseball games. There's 82 hockey, 82 basketball. There's now 17. There were 16 football games, and you woke up on Sunday. I remember my late father, hey, put the Bear game on. My brother and I put the Bears, man. They're playing. And we are infected at a young age with that disease of rooting for our teams. And I always said, the biggest curse you could ever get is to be a Cub fan. And then Theo changed all that. And it was the most... If you'd have told me, dude, you're going to live X number of years till they finally win, it was such an amazing night, November 2nd, 2016, that it was moved me to tears. It was the coolest feeling I've ever had outside of being married or having my kids. The coolest feeling ever. My heart was beating out on that set. I wasn't a broadcaster. I was a freaking fan. The Bears are right behind them. And I've been infected with that love for the Bears. They are, without a doubt, the most mismanaged, dysfunctional, disrespectful, unappreciative ownership group we have ever had in the history of the city. Like, the Wrigley family was cheap. They didn't know what they were doing, but they had the pretty ballpark, all that. I don't think they were disrespectful. I just think they were clueless. I think the Tribune tried to be a little better. They were clueless. Reinsdorf came in. He knew what he had to do. He won with both his teams. Bill Wirtz was clueless. Rocky fixed it. They won. That group up in Lake Forest, what they did yesterday to stick Matt Nagy out there with no shield whatsoever of maybe your GM wants to come out and address the report. And I know we'll hear from them. We don't address every single tweet and rumor that's out there. That wasn't a tweet and a rumor, man. That's a Pulitzer Prize winning journalist who is telling you your coach is being fired on Thursday. And they go play dumb, deaf, mute, whatever you want to call it. What George allowed to have happen yesterday, he is the CEO of that franchise. George, you reached a new low for yourself, man. And you should be driving right now to work with more embarrassment and shame than you can possibly imagine. You, sir, are a jackass. That was disrespectful.
Well, let's reset the timeline a little bit for a lot of Bears fans waking up here and understanding exactly what it is that went on. Because even yesterday, following along with what was happening as it was happening was pretty tough to believe. I mean, you know all the guys on that Bears beat. You know, so do I. I'm friends with them, covered the team with them from time to time.
I
mean,
yeah, I got good friends. I got some of one has blocked me on Twitter. But
Well, I mean, you're going to have that. Even they, you know, are having difficulties getting their arms around everything as it's happening.
Correct.
Yesterday, you know, you had the report. You guys had Mark on.
So, okay, so for people who are just getting in their car and they're saying, What is Connor talking about? By the way, Connor's in for Hoodie.
Hi, how you doing?
Hoodie, enjoy. Good to see you. Hoodie, enjoy your Thanksgiving holiday.
I got a feeling Hoodie's going to be back in here.
Maybe more quickly than we think.
I think that might be true.
So yesterday, Danny and Hoodie, after they tangled during the show, which was hilarious.
There was a tussle, yeah. No.
Oh, I love how you keep saying he's off for Thanksgiving. Is that really why he's off?
Should see the other guys that we're talking about.
Was this scheduled?
Thanksgiving,
are we
whatever.
Sure about that?
Was this scheduled?
Anyway, so Danny says, guys, check your Twitter. And I don't, at the time, I didn't follow Mark Conkle. I knew he was a Pulitzer Prize winning journalist because he did a Laquan McDonald documentary called 16 Shots.
Right.
And I'm like, what am I looking for, Danny? He's like, look right now. I just sent it to you. Look at that. And it's from Patch.com. That is a group of suburban newspapers. Mark Conkle. Conkle's Corner on Twitter. And I look, I'm like, how would this effing guy know that Matt's getting fired?
Not the guy you expected, like, to have the news.
I would figure Big Z or somebody on the beat, Adam Hoge, whoever, Potsy, somebody is going to be, they're there every day. Danny, this can't be right. And then I look, I'm like, yeah, that's Conkle's Twitter. So I click the follow button. Danny, get a hold of Conkle. See if he'll come on. It is, Danny's as good as they come.
Yep.
It isn't 12 seconds.
Guys, I'm writing a book about it, too, called Behind the Glass 2. I'm writing a book about booking guests. It's called
Behind the Glass 2. Electric Boogaloo.
The real stories. Take that, Merkin. So Danny goes, Conkle's on hold. Go to him right now. It isn't 12 seconds. Mark Conkle joins us. He's like, guys, I don't cover sports. This isn't what I do. And then this is what he tells us.
I'm not like you guys. I'm not in the mix every day. But I'm just going to tell you, I got a really good source on this, and I'm pretty confident that, you know, this is going to be his last game. Obviously, you guys have been reporting, you know, he's lost the locker room. He's lost 5 games in a row. I kind of was surprised when I got a call this morning about it, and, you know, it just looks like this is going to happen.
Looks like this is going to happen. That was at 9:42 we brought him on. His tweet was around 9:35. And Hoodie and I chop it up. We talk about it. Carmen Yerk, Dewaddle. So, but Matt is going to come on at 11:45 and meet the media. First, Chris Tabor comes out. Okay. Whoever made the decision to put Chris Tabor out there before Ryan Pace, I don't know where you're hiding, before Scott Hagel, you're the senior vice president of the team, or novel concept, your team president who knows nothing about football, Ted Phillips, or even more novel concept, Connor, how about the godforsaken owner walks out there and goes, okay, that report is 100% not true. Matt is our football coach. We'll talk to you after the season. Or, actually, that shouldn't have leaked out. That's on me. Yes, we are moving on from Matt. He will not even coach
them. A statement of some kind?
How about something?
You know, as a shield for Chris Tabor to come out there, if you're not going to change your media schedule, all those things are possible for you. All those things are potential.
And then poor Matt. And again, he's not a good football coach. He's not. It hasn't worked. And if he ever has a chance to decompress, walk away, and look back and go, yeah, I know it wasn't personal. I like Matt. I've interviewed Matt. I've spent time around Matt. He's a good dude. He's just not very good at his job. Now, is that because he works for the worst organization in sports? Maybe. He also has made plenty of mistakes that are of his own making. Agreed?
Yeah, you'd have to agree.
You don't put your head coach out there with that report swirling, and it wasn't like, you know, Bob's blog from Elmwood Park, and he says, oh, here Matt's out. No, this is a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. For Christ's sake, issue a statement. Don't stick him out there. And then this, he knows what's coming. The first question.
Now, there's a report today that you've been informed this will be your last game as president.
That is not accurate. You know, I have not, I have great communication with ownership, with George and Ted and Ryan, but I have not had any discussions.
What have been your discussions with George and Ted and Ryan this week?
Just this week we have not talked this week, and that was scheduled. You know, that's been we have a good schedule over the years where we have discussions. Like you guys always hear us talk about. You know, we have constant communication. I always think it's good and healthy, and so we stayed on course. And with the bye week, and then with the short turnaround with game prep, we have not.
Do you have assurance that you'll coach the rest of the season?
Say that again.
Assurance that he'll coach
again. My focus right now is on these players and on Detroit. That's it.
Okay, how do you put that guy out there like that? That's just so disrespectful. So disrespectful. And if he's truly going to be fired tomorrow after the game, which I have no reason to not believe Mark Conkle's report. Till I listened to Waddle at Sylvie yesterday, and I heard my friend Dan Wiederer say, It wouldn't shock him if Conkle's report is accurate, but because the Bears are such a clown show, they'll be like, well, let's just wait a couple weeks because the report's out there, and we could say it wasn't true.
We don't want the other people to be right. We don't want somebody else to have had this first. We'd like to have this back in our own hands, this decision.
You think Apple, when they leak the new iPhone, when it gets leaked out there.
Yeah.
Do you think that either Steve Jobs, rest in peace, or whoever it is now.
Tim Cook.
Correct. Do you think those guys go, hey, hold up the iPhone for a month because that PC magazine got it? No. They have a freaking strategy. They have crisis management. Here's how we handle things. It's a joke, man.
Well, listen, this is why, you know, you're going to hear a lot, I think, over the next day or two about we can't respond to every Twitter rumor. We can't respond to every tweet. What would we look like as an organization, whether you're the Bears or ESPN 1000? What would we look at as an organization if we responded to every tweet?
Correct.
This very quickly yesterday, Cap, turned into something more than just one tweet.
Correct.
You know that. You've covered sports in this town for years.
It was a firestorm.
You understand what it is when a story gets legs. And this got legs like a marathon, right? I mean, this was just absolutely all over the place and thick.
This was an ultra marathon. It went everywhere.
Here's the other part of this, too. You cover this team. We talked 2 weeks ago before you left for vacation about how you had heard about what the Bears may do with Ryan Pace, moving him upstairs, bringing in some other GM, walking on to another coach, right? We've all been talking about what the future of the Bears organization from a coaching and management standpoint is for weeks.
Right.
Conkle's report underlines what many who cover the team have already thought is in progress. This isn't another tweet. This is confirmation of the way things are going with the Bears.
It is the most embarrassing thing I've seen them do since they lied to Dave McGinnis and put out a... Dude, I still have that fact somewhere.
Are you really?
Because I was hosting it down the dial.
Yeah.
We had the games back then. And then they left and went over to old MAQ. And they said, I get the call, hey, can you host the press conference on the air? We're announcing Dave McGinnis. And I am on the air naked. No phone calls because you go off delay.
Oh, yeah.
And
I know that
it's starting at 1 o'clock. And I'm sitting there and I'm, this is... what, 22 years ago?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not the same guy I was 22 years ago. I'm not as polished today or then as I am today.
Tap dancing is hard no matter how polished you are.
I am tap dancing for 30 minutes talking to myself. Can't take calls. Who am I going to bring on? Spike Odell? I got no calls, nothing. And finally they go, all right, go to break. Kozlowski's on the phone. Glenn Kozlowski, who played for the Bears, one of my best friends. Go to Koz. What's up? Dude, go on the air. Dave McGinnis just got in his car and left. He turned the job. What? I've got the facts. It says he agreed to a 4-year deal. Cap, listen to me. I'm at Halas. He left. This is as low as that. 312-332-3776. Did Matt give us a clue yesterday regarding his ultimate fate? That and your calls. Clown show in Lake Forest has gone to a new level. Be right back.
Cap. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Like, we know they suck as a football team. But I'm starting to wonder that, like, if Vince Lombardi got reincarnated from the dead and, I don't know, pick the best executive in the history of sports. Whoever it is. Pick one.
Can it just be Belichick?
Okay.
Can we just
if
say
Bill
that?
If Bill Belichick was 35 years old, 40 years old, getting ready to start his run with the Patriots, he goes, oh, you know what? I'm going to go to Chicago. And I'm going to bring Tom Brady with me. That group up in Lake Forest would find a way to go like 7-9, 8-8, that they would screw it all up.
This is what you
That's
start to worry about. This is what you start to worry about, Cal. I told you a couple weeks ago when I first came in off the White Sox beat, right after covering baseball all season long, the only thing I care about in this Bears season and for those to come is making sure that Justin Fields becomes an elite quarterback. Because I know that you win with elite quarterbacks in
Correct.
This league.
Correct.
Anything that holds up his progress to that end is malpractice. Anything that holds him up from being everything he can be as a quarterback in the NFL is absolutely wrong. This doesn't help. There is no way that this, all of this, helps the Bears become a better football team with Justin Fields under center.
It's insane. Yesterday, when all that stuff broke, and now we're going to get to what happened later. I want you to hear from Matt, and we're going to talk about Brad Biggs did a great job with his column. And as all this is just burning down, and I got Danny in my ear, go to Conkle, do this, here. Like, what? And then I get in the car, and I'm waiting for the press conference. I'm listening to Carmen Yerk, and I'm like, do you not know what a crisis manager is up there? Scott Hagel, George McCaskey, Ted Phillips, the threesome that is at the top of the organization. I can give you Dennis Culleton's phone number if you want it. He's a friend. I can literally give you his phone number right now. He's a crisis manager. And you call him and you go, hey, how much? So we can un-F the situation that we're in. You're the worst. You are the worst. And you really don't deserve our fandom. But we're infected.
Un-effing is at the very top of the price sheet, too. I mean, that's, you know, you got a couple of different services.
Yeah,
you got the whole menu out there.
Here, right, that's X.
That's about $45 an hour.
It's George McCaskey. That's going to be a $100,000 retainer.
And you got holiday pay, too.
Yeah.
You know, you're right in the middle of this whole Thanksgiving break. You got to bring people in. You're on the short week.
Put your turkey leg down and get to Lake
Forest. Man, that is some pricey stuff.
Un-effing costs more than the effing, to be honest with you. Which
it does. It does.
Which is worth something, to be honest.
I can do the other thing for you. 20, 30 bucks. Flat rate. No problem. Not even an hourly pay. That's really difficult.
Okay, so Brad Biggs, who Brad is a must follow. That's why I created a burner Twitter account, because he blocked me on the first one.
Hey, respect.
Whatever. That's ultimate respect.
It is. Dude knows what he's doing. He's great.
He puts this column out last night. If Matt Nagy was not convincing when he spoke about his future with the media on Tuesday afternoon, he was less convincing with Bears players later in the day after the team wrapped up its second walkthrough at the Walter Payton Center in Lake Forest. The embattled coach said a Patch.com report that the Bears have told him he'll be fired after Thursday's game against the Lions is, quote, not accurate. But according to multiple sources, he offered little to make players believe he will be around much longer, leaving at least some players dismayed at the organization's lack of direction. I want Ryan Day so bad to coach this team. Memo to Ryan Day, man, run in the other direction.
Ryan Day just got locked up at Ohio State. This whole situation, all the leverage Ryan Day needs to get himself that 10-year gajillion-dollar deal right. That Nick Saban's got. This is perfect for Ryan Day. This is the best thing that's ever happened to Ryan Day.
Gene Smith, AD at Ohio State. Guess what? I just got a call from George McCaskey. Hold on. Let me call the top boosters. I'll get right back to you. How's 10 years, $100 million?
This is going
to
cost so much money at the horseshoe. Every football coach, Lincoln Riley on to anybody
else.
They're
all going, yes.
This is beautiful for them.
Keep peeing down your leg, George, because you have no clue what you're doing.
Thanksgiving feast for football coaches looking to make a move.
Okay, so first,
By the way, if I was the AD at Ohio State, I'd say to Ryan Day, go ahead. Go to the Bears. See how that works out for
call
you.
Call your bluff.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead. See how it's worked out for every other, the last three or four coaches. Go ahead.
Ohio State boosters but though aren't known for being all that calm. I think they're probably going to kick that money at Ryan Day.
I'm just saying, be careful what you wish for, Ryan Day.
But I'll tell you this. If Ryan truly wants to go to the NFL, yeah. which I've been told people that know him said, yeah, there's at some point he wants to do that.
At some point. But why? When you're Ryan Day,
George,
run
that whole thing. Yeah, I got your call. It's going to cost you 10 years and more money than you can count.
It's a gajillion. That's what it's going to cost.
Correct.
It's going to cost it.
Right. Who's the highest paid coach in the league? Belichick. Okay, he's won 7 rings. We'll go just under him. What's he make? 12? I won 11.
That's
10 for 110.
Whew.
Matt, have your bosses cleared things up? This is pre-team meeting.
Again, we all have our own decisions as to how we do things, and I think this whole entire time for me and for ownership, we've had great communication, and so again, it's focused on Detroit, so that's what it is.
Okay, is it safe to say you're unsure then about your job status?
Again, that's my biggest deal right now. That's a distraction. You know, I'm completely concerned about our players, our team, our coaches, our staff, everybody. And really, honestly, focus in on this game. That's anything else is a distraction.
Finally, Matt, will you address your team about all of the rumors? Again, this is pre-team meeting.
No, I mean, this is we're out there, just got done with the walkthrough. We had installs this morning. We were getting after it. I thought the guys were great, and we had to walk through, and now we got another one this afternoon. So it's, you know, again, We are locked in on Detroit and making sure we can do everything we can to win it.
Okay, all of that we just played for you, that was before, according to Bigsy, before Nagy canceled all meetings scheduled for the rest of Tuesday afternoon and evening, his sources said. A highly unusual move that prompted one source to wonder if Nagy is resigned to his fate. The Bears did not, shockingly, make Chairman George McCaskey, President Ted Phillips, or General Manager Ryan Pace available to discuss Nagy's situation. And the first employee to field questions about the bizarre situation was Special Teams Coordinator Chris Tabor in his weekly media session. Let me repeat that. Special Teams Coordinator Chris Tabor was the first employee to field questions about this bizarre situation in his weekly media session. Really?
Well, he was scheduled first, guys. You can't expect the Bears to change the schedule. The schedule was emailed out. I mean, it would be ridiculous for us to think that they would change the schedule.
This is the schedule, and it is unflinchingly rigid.
Guys, the schedule was emailed.
The schedule's out. How dare we change things? We couldn't possibly alter the schedule. I was reading a good friend of mine, Adam Hogue, on NBC Sports Chicago. Good.
Or as Dan Orlovsky calls him, Hoagie.
Or Hoagie, or Hoge. We called him that in college, too. He didn't really like it so much. He's a damn good softball player, though. Mm-hmm. Either way, he's more concerned, and so am I, how this all gets handled from the exterior perspective, right? Chris Tabor being first, while ridiculous, doesn't matter so much. And Matt Nagy going up there and talking and really actually having a pretty good day at the microphone, all things considered. You think about the way he answered those questions, the questions he had to answer about other kids booing his kid at a high school football game, which is just dumb, but kids are dumb, so they'll do that kind of. He had a good day. The organization internally, how you communicate those rumors, how you communicate what's going to happen over the day, ownership's communication with Matt Nagy, rescheduling this meeting, canceling all of the other meetings after Matt Nagy had met with ownership. That's what I'm worried about. That's what Hogue's worried. If you're going to do this, whether it's firing Matt Nagy because he loses to Jared Goff and the Lions tomorrow or not, like, you have to be a better organization. You have to be better run than this.
It's not possible. I have come to that conclusion. My wife does crisis management for her company, or PR, or spokesperson. She's quoted in the Tribune today in a story. And I said, "Hun, how does this happen?" She said, "You have to just understand something. My company, hers, wouldn't tolerate incompetence. Wouldn't tolerate it." She said, "They tolerate all that. Wrap your brain around they're an incompetent organization. And you can go replace Ryan Pace And you can go, well, the Kevin White pick or the Mitch Trubisky. She said, it doesn't matter. Bring in the next guy. Make him the smartest guy in the world. And because upper management is so grossly incompetent, he will be dumbed down too. And he'll leave here looking like a boob. And everybody will be like, what happened?
So you're saying they're looking at the price sheet and not even thinking they need the uneffing services at the very top.
Correct. They don't need Dennis Culleton.
They just need appetizers. They're good. They're set. They just need a couple of $9 apps, spread it around the table, and we'll be just fine.
We're good.
Yeah, that ain't going to work.
We've already got the preset menu. We got the filet, the chicken, or the shrimp.
Because, again, the schedule is unflinchingly rigid. We cannot change things.
Correct. So as you're driving to work, as you're preparing to get the kids off for the last day of school, as you're running errands so you can put a nice spread on the table tomorrow, understand that the team that you cheer for, that you are infected by, you are infected to be a Bears fan. And I'm right there with you, man. And there ain't no vaccine. They are the most incompetent, dumbest organization, tone deaf, poorly run. You can grab any descriptive term you want. They suck. They suck. Would I love to have a team and go, you know what? I'm turning my back on them. I'm going to a new... No, I'm not going to do that. We are loyal in this town. And I'm hoping that Virginia McCaskey, who is sharp as a tack at 98, who fired her late son Michael when he screwed up the Dave McGinnis story. He literally told Dave McGinnis, Dave's like, I didn't agree to that contract. Mm. We'll get to more of that because he wanted him to lie to the assistants. Tell them they got 4-year deals when it's only one. We can get out after a year. Yeah. No, I'm out. Well, maybe this time you fire George. We'll be right back. It's our favorite time of year. We're back traveling the road of college football, and Goodyear knows the passion and excitement it takes to drive forward. Whether your team is home or away, the game's traditions are still the same. Through every first down, touchdown, or fourth quarter comeback, by moving, anything is possible. Goodyear is here to drive you forward on the road that moves us all. Goodyear, more driven.
David Kaplan. Jonathan Hood. Welcome, fans. This is Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the new ESPN Chicago app.
Get your coffee this morning.
I got a little coffee this morning. I'm like a cup short. I got to figure out this whole morning show coffee routine thing.
So we have a coffee maker that I set the timer. I make it the night before.
Oh, I know. Sometimes it overflows.
Yes, that's
happened. Sometimes it trashes the kitchen.
So I made it last night. I bought everybody Yeti mugs, I don't know, 8 months ago on the show.
Yeah.
Cap J. Hood Yeti mugs. With the ESPN 1000 logo.
No, I've seen them. The branding is on point.
Yeah, it's on point. They're white. They're beautiful. Silver writing. I come down. It's 4:45 this morning. Fill up my coffee. I drink it usually black. Occasionally, I'll put a little cream in there, but black. Fill it all the way up. There's enough left for my wife to have a couple cups. Gone. I get on the highway, and I do not take a sip of the coffee till I get onto the highway.
Is that like a discipline thing or is it like a heat thing?
No, just a
Because you thing. Can't. You don't want to get into the sip cup of coffee while you're driving when it's too hot.
Correct.
That causes accidents.
So I get on, I merge, I make the turn, and now, bam, I'm on the highway. And I sitting on the counter.
Oh, that's no good.
I was so pissed.
That's no good.
So mad.
I was going to say, you had to fill up at some other locus. Yeah, you got to get the fill in.
Excuse me. Can I get a pike, please?
You know, because on the day that Matt Nagy may or may not be fired, you got to be a caffeinated radio host.
You got to be going. You got to be going because I'm never over my skis without caffeine. 312-332-3776. So, is Matt fired? Is he not fired? Either way, the Bears have a game tomorrow. Are you rooting for them to lose, Connor?
I think I might be. Only because I want some resolution here. Right? I mean, you could, regardless of the report, even if things had been completely silent heading up to yesterday, Conkle never has the report. We don't get these press conferences and questions. Mm-hmm. Had they, if they lose to the Lions tomorrow, wouldn't the lead topic Friday morning be, shouldn't Matt Nagy be fired now?
Okay, but
shouldn't Ryan Pace be fired now? What do you have left at this point?
Okay, so here's my question. Danny, Jeff, if you're going to do it tomorrow night, because, well, we don't have a game on Sunday, we've got 10 days, we can, you know, hand it off to Chris Tabor or Mike Patton or whoever the
Doesn't
hell
matter
is going to be the coach.
Doesn't matter who.
Then why did you not fire him at the bye week? Are you telling me that
they hadn't made the decision yet at the bye week?
What other information did you need that he's not a good coach?
Listen, I'm not, like, in some ways you wonder if the Steelers, the fact that they looked better against the Steelers, even though they lost, and like you could point to the ref, maybe the officiating in that Monday night game gave Matt Nagy a stay of execution. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, but here's my point. Like, if you decide that you're going to fire this guy, oh, wait a minute, let's let him coach Baltimore. And if we beat Baltimore, albeit with a seventh round rookie backup quarterback, yeah, maybe we'll keep the guy. Oh, you know what? If we didn't get that Cassius Marsh taunting, but Matt was getting ready to turn it. Like, no.
So you know me. I look through all of this. I look at all of this through the Justin Fields lens. I could see Bears ownership creating some sort of, you know, listen, you want consistency for Justin Fields. Mm-hmm. What good is firing his head coach midway through the season going to do for Justin Fields? What good is changing that scheme going to do for Justin Fields? Now, that's not my opinion on things. That's where clearly ownership at Hallis Hall has decided to stay consistent. Right or wrong, they've clearly decided that keeping Matt Nagy around is the best thing for their football franchise, the best thing for Justin Fields, because, again, that's the only thing that matters. At this point, with Justin Hurt, Andy Dalton scheduled to start against the Lions tomorrow, the question around whether or not it's even smart to put Justin back out there, given the way the offensive line has played the last few weeks, why do you want to rush? Now things change. Plus, the absolute, let's call it firestorm, not the thing I was going to say, firestorm of media coverage around what happened yesterday. Mm-hmm. Now you are at a point of no return. You're looking at crossing the Rubicon here, and with no hope of bringing that coach back, the locker room back under that coach, the quarterback even caring about that coach being there or the scheme. You know, I'm talking about Justin Fields, not Andy Dalton. That's, you know, that's fine, whatever. He's a vet. Doesn't matter. But you are now at a point, because of their inaction, because of not anticipating things over a bye week, because of not reacting to things the way you probably should have leading into this season, because of reacting positively to Justin Fields dropping to you in the draft in the first place. All of these things you looked at as ownership and said, you know what, maybe this will get us in the right direction. Maybe this will help. You're not proactive, you're reactive. And that leads to some of the staffing and general manager and coaching decisions that have kept the Bears where they are for the last decade and a half.
Longer than that.
At least the last decade and a half.
312-332-3776. Go to Josh in Logan Square. Hey, Josh, what's up, Sparky?
Thank you for taking my good. How about you guys?
We're good. What's on your mind?
I've never seen the Bears glory days. I was born in 97, so I've only seen three winning seasons. Three in my lifetime as a Chicago Bear fan. 2000, when they lost in the NFC Championship game, lost the Super Bowl, and when they lost in the wild card. And, like, and my question is, and I've been wondering this as, like, a child. I have two questions, actually. Like, there's no way that George McCaskey or even Virginia McCaskey is that incompetence where of the current city of the Bears right now. It's just, is no way.
I appreciate your call, Josh. Have a great holiday. They are that incompetent. Virginia's 98. She's a lovely lady. I've met her many times. She's awesome. She's 98. She's not making decisions on what the future of the football team is. She's just not.
This is the same organization that had that Brandon Marshall press conference a couple of years ago. I mean, there's all kinds of weird that has happened around this team. There's all kinds of, like, public-facing weird stuff that this team chooses to allow. Not like puts out in front of you, but just kind of lets people get away with.
Next McCaskey up. Hey, Brian.
Well,
and I like Brian. Brian at least has, he worked as a trainer there. Brian knows football. And people I trust who play there go, dude, that's the one McCaskey that actually knows the sport.
So then, I mean, like, I don't doubt that. Why was he not in charge to begin with? This is the problem. It's a family-owned business that they did not purchase on their own. You look across the league. Now, listen, the Rooneys, you know, I don't know how involved, you know, the patriarchy was in raising the family, but clearly they have a better handle on football and how you run an organization. The Maras, even though they're not, they obviously the last 5 to 10 years have had difficulty. The Giants have a much stronger history over the last 30 or 40 years. In comparison, though, the McCaskeys are just walking around aimlessly, not understanding what to do. Everyone else across the league, for the most part, you're talking about billionaires, you know, multimillionaires who became billionaires, who achieved something in business, know how to run an organization. The McCaskeys, unfortunately, they don't. And so this is what you have.
I think there are a handful, I think, Jeff, of organizations in the league that don't understand what they're doing. It's actually harder to tolerate this level of incompetence as ownership than it is to just get some things right. Isn't it? I mean, just to look around and say, yeah, this is fine. That's hard to do. Think about what you have to put up with.
We'll discuss that. We'll get to your calls, Peter in Miami, and the rest of you, 312-332-3776. Is Nagy out? Is he not out? Are they so dumb up there? They actually, and it's not malicious, they're just idiots. Are we rooting for this team to lose tomorrow? 312-332-3776. Be right back. This hour brought to you by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois. Through life's ups and downs, for all the journeys ahead, you know what to bring, the car you can count on. Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois, through it all.
Cap J Hood.
Follow on Instagram at Cap J Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
George McCaskey. Danny, don't look. What's his middle name?
Enrique.
Meller?
Nailed it.
Wilbur.
It's Hallis. George Hallis McCaskey. It is the most disrespectful thing to the Hallis name that guy has it as his middle name. Like, George started the GD League. It's the charter franchise. Like, he was one of the six dudes sitting in a Decatur showroom of an automobile dealer going, all right, $100, I'm in. I'll do the Chicago team, Decatur Staleys. Like, that's who we're dealing with.
Just because you got there first doesn't mean you stay in first. I mean, that's pretty obvious, right? I mean, we've seen for years now that it takes a lot more than just having been there first to get any kind of legacy points if you're the Chicago Bears.
Wow.
They haven't had a quarterback since Sid Luckman. You haven't had more than 3 winning seasons since Josh was a fan 15 years ago, you know, born in not. I mean, this is not a franchise that has a lot to hang their hat on. It's just not. I mean, they're closer in terms of success, in terms of reputation around the league and how things are done and being forward thinking. You're closer to Washington and Jacksonville,
Cleveland
and Miami than you are, you know, the Giants or the Steelers.
Danny, you're a programming guy. Like, that's your future. You're going to be a programmer. What is the lead story on Boomer and Geo on The Fan right now in New York? The biggest sports station in the history of our country.
Well, they fired their offensive coordinator, the New York Giants. I would assume they're leading with that.
The lead story is the embarrassment as Chicago Bears.
On their show or on their website?
On their show. Guy just tweeted at me, said, Cap, I watch Boomer and Geo. They never mention the Bears. Never. It's so bad, they're actually talking Bears and the embarrassment they are and how awful the game will be tomorrow, and they have the damn Jets and Giants.
But right out, I don't know if that guy said right out of the gate. I'm sure they're talking about it. I mean, hell, we talked about Baker Mayfield yesterday. That doesn't mean we came out of the gate with it. It was a misleading question right there, Cap. You asked me what they opened up. Their lead story was. I think their lead story was not the Bears.
Well, that's kind of the thing, though, right? Like, it's gotten to the point where it is a national story.
Oh, absolutely. Just like we talked about Baker Mayfield and we talked about Brett. You know, we'll talk about Aaron Rodgers and we'll go around the league and talk about some embarrassing moments. This is definitely making the rounds on sports talk shows all over the country. And the interesting thing will be the broadcast tomorrow. Joe Buck, Troy Aikman, I think they have the call. How are they going to handle this embarrassment?
I mean, they have to address it, right?
Of course you do.
Oh, yeah.
You have to. I mean, this is going to be a graphic coming into the thing. You're going to get sound on tape from Matt Nagy's press conference yesterday.
Still doing it, he'd be drawing on the screen going with a big X.
See, here's where they messed up here. And here's where they messed up here. Madden with the press conference strategy.
We put an X through him because he'll be at home tomorrow.
Do you think Matt Nagy, they'll give him the turkey leg because it's if they win tomorrow, like as a gesture?
Matt Nagy gets the final turkey leg?
Do they still do that? I think they do.
Probably, right?
What happened to the turducken?
Because they ran a pro, the turducken was Madden.
Yes, of course.
Madden introduced
the
turducken.
But they did a promo. I watched it on Sunday.
It stayed. Like, Madden hasn't called a game for Fox in, what, 20 years? But they're still rolling with the six-legged turkey.
They showed guys eating turkey legs.
Well, yeah, it's become their thing. They've co-opted it from Madden, but it's still there. So will Matt Nagy get a turkey leg if they win, just as a gesture by Fox to say, hey, Matt, we know this is your last game. Enjoy a turkey leg on us.
Peter in Miami. What's up, Sparkles?
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
How you doing, man? Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you, too. It's a very simple thing I just want to say. When the front office is so incompetent and inept and there's no change on the horizon, the only one to blame are the fans. The only one to blame are the fans, because if the only way they would make any type of change, and the change needed to be done last year or 2 years ago, because we were bottom five offense and declining. So the only way these people can make a change is when they see empty seats and not a lot of money going into their accounts.
Yeah.
There's nothing else. This is a clown show, and it's an unfortunate. My wife's a Dolphins fan, and she said, you guys are embarrassing. I said, I got nothing.
Yeah.
I got nothing.
I got nothing. As I said, I'm infected. You're infected. We have a disease. There is no known cure other than, as one tweeter just said to me, JG, put the police spike across the road and pull over the car that has George, Ted, Ryan in it. Let the tires blow out and go, you're out. That's it.
Well, that's, I mean.
But again, you can hire the next GM, whoever you want.
Of course.
People want Lewis Riddick. People want this one.
Peyton Manning.
Whoever. They could literally hire that guy that's sleeping over there by the alley. And they could drop him in and he'll do no worse because he's got incompetent boobs above him.
Well, that's what we've seen over the last couple of years, right? Fans don't affect change, not really. I mean, I get the idea of not showing up to games or whatever, but the NFL has insulated itself from that now.
That's such a foolish call. I like Peter, but like to blame the fans for this is such a foolish call. I've heard Waddle say it 100 times. If the fans didn't show up to Soldier Field to watch the Bears, it wouldn't bother the Bears at all because they get the TV rights money. They get a check, and I can't remember. He says how much it is, but when the season starts, they divide the TV rights money up amongst all the NFL teams, and the Bears get this giant check.
Yep.
And they don't care if you show up.
Leagues have insulated themselves from needing the turnstiles to go around. Now, it helps. Don't get me wrong.
All right,
but they don't have to have it work anymore. Instead, what this is, listen, you had cheers. You had chants of fire Nagy from on the field to the Bulls game to high school. None of it changed the direction of this until that report yesterday and the press conferences that followed.
Agreed. We got 30 seconds for you, Danny, because we got to roll. What's on, Danny and Schaumburg?
Love the tan. I'm jealous. The whole thing, how do I know that if you're going to fire the guy after Sunday, you just do it? You already had the template with Tabor, okay? And the fact that they were going to go with have him coach one more game, that's true, it's just asinine, right? And then Pace or no one comes out, that's just and says it's either true, it's false, or we're going to evaluate everything. It's just low-rent loser incompetency. And the fact that I actually somehow feel bad for it. I've been calling the guy Jaggy for 2 years and wanted him
Danny,
gone.
Danny, you're exactly right. You're 100%.
And now I feel bad for him.
We got to roll. Have a great holiday, Danny. Thanks for always listening. Right. Matt's not a good football coach. But guess what? What you did to him yesterday and the way you continue to run things shows me you are truly the worst organization in American sports. Truly the worst run organization in American professional sports. Chew on that. Shot or no shot? 2 minutes.